for coming along to this presentation this afternoon, the last afternoon of our conference. I'm going to be presenting some unusual data safety challenges, and I'll be covering the area of emergency medical ground transport, ambulance transport, and contrasting that with data available for other commercial vehicles. I have no conflicts to declare in this study. By way of background, ground emergency medical services, EMS or ambulance transport, has been identified in the literature to have a high risk of crash-related injury and fatality. However, comparative data comparing ambulance transport to commercial vehicles is scant, if not in fact absent. Here's some examples of some recent adverse events with emergency vehicles. This was July 5th that resulted in the fatality of a medic in the rear of this vehicle and some serious injuries in the front of that vehicle. And this comment was made, I'd like to know why, what can be done so this never happens again. Why can't I second guess this? A man is dead and I want to know if the actions and situations surrounding this were worth this sort of loss. Came from a member of the public. Unusual comment. And it's the only time you're going to see a comment like that when you don't have a system or infrastructure or oversight addressing the problem at hand. 2 weeks after his comment, we actually had the worst ambulance crash in the history of America. Most people in EMS in America don't even know it occurred because we don't have a system of oversight or infrastructure. The interesting comment by the director of the Emergency Management Agency in that area, where there were 5 fatalities in the one ambulance, we know it could happen at any time. We read about it in our newsletter. We just don't think it's going to happen to us. Again, another hallmark of an absent oversight and data system. And here we have an example where an emergency vehicle was involved in a fatality of another person. And the comment made in the events that followed was that the driver of the emergency vehicle had slowed to about 50 mile per hour to go through the intersection, as he had been trained to do. Again, another hallmark of a safety oversight failure. Well, on the 23rd of September this year, 2 people were killed, 3 were injured in an ambulance crash. 2 counts of vehicular homicide just on Monday. The ambulance driver was impaired and resulted in a fatality of 2 people in a vehicle that was struck. And just this morning in New York State, a paramedic was critically injured. The driver of the ambulance apparently fell asleep at the wheel. So I'm going to try and touch on some of the issues that we're grappling with that piece of background in place. Here's some examples of some adverse outcomes of emergency vehicle crashes. This really looks like a series of closets by the side of the road, and that's no surprise, the safety standards over the oversight of vehicle design and safety, which we addressed on Monday, are lacking. UPS and laundry trucks have a very similar design and even more stringent safety requirements, but very different cargo. Emergency medical service vehicles are transporting people, patients and passengers, not packages or parcels. So the objective of this study was to identify transportation safety data and data capture systems for emergency medical service ground vehicle transport, and to contrast that with commercial vehicle transportation safety data. The methodology was one of searching online databases for EMS transportation safety as well as online commercial vehicle transportation safety data over the period of 1996 to 2005. An analysis of the types of data captured nationally for these 2 different occupational environments was performed. We identified a number of databases. There's the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, which captures data in these formats we're going to speak about in a moment. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has these 3 types of data, which we'll discuss in a moment. The National Transportation Safety Board actually captures data on all ambulance helicopters and air medical vehicles that crash, but only on one occasion, and that was in 1979. Addressed an ambulance, and they capture no ongoing data or oversight. And then we identified some non-transportation professional associations and organisations or national infrastructure associated with EMTs and emergency medical folks. So Federal Motor Carrier was established in 2000 under the DOT, pursuant to the Motor Carrier Safety Improvement Act of 99. Its primary mission is to reduce crashes, injuries, fatalities involving large trucks and buses. To address its safety mandate, it develops and enforces data-driven regulations to address safety and industry efficiency. It harnesses safety information systems and focuses its attention on high-risk carriers. It targets educational messages to carriers, commercial drivers and the public, and it partners with stakeholders across the board, federal, state, local, motor carrier industry, safety groups and organised labour in order to reduce bus and truck-related crashes. Unfortunately, there are some exceptions to the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, and I'll point out these two specific ones, F4 and F5. Exempt are transportation of human corpses or sick and injured persons, and the operation of fire trucks and rescue vehicles while involved in emergency and related operations. Well, I can sort of understand why human corpses are exempt, but I'm a bit concerned about the sick and injured persons. The Motor Carrier Management Information System, MCMIS, is operated by Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, and it contains information on the safety fitness of commercial motor carriers, collects data on state-reported crashes, compliance review, roadside inspections, enforcement data and motor carrier census data. The crash profiles use the National Governors Association recommended data elements that are reported to the Federal Motor Carrier Association by states through SafetyNet, a computer reporting system which I'll touch on. In order to be one of those reportable crashes, it must involve a truck, a vehicle designed, used or maintained primarily for carrying property, with a gross rate weighting combination weight rating of £10,000, or a bus, a vehicle with seats for at least 9 people, including the driver. The crash must result in at least one fatality or one injury when a person injured is taken to a medical facility for immediate medical attention, or one vehicle having been towed from the scene as a result of disabling damage. And the SafeStat detailed summary is here, and it outlines the four areas of safety evaluation that Federal Motor Carrier operates in. Safety data retaining pertains to the accident, the driver, the vehicle and safety management oversight. And there are a number of different areas there that specific data is captured on. In the interest of time, I'll move on to the next slide, but it's a very comprehensive, detailed data capture system that addresses all areas of transportation in this system. It creates an actual score that is delivered to the motor carriers that it addresses, and it's been a validated approach. It also addresses hour of service, and I think after the event I mentioned that occurred this morning in New York, it's very important, this area of hours of service, and clearly Federal Motor Carrier has some very strict requirements for hours of service when you're operating a motorised vehicle. And there's an extensive amount of information available on the public website for the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration on hours of service. They also have a system called SAFER, Safety and Fitness Electronic Record System, and this is another aspect of facilitating the safety of the operating of motor vehicles in the commercial motor vehicle environment. Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration also has extensive crash statistics, and public access website will give you a lot of this information. They also do some research and analysis at the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, and this happens to be an analysis brief from July this year, looking at factors underlying the adoption of new safety technologies by US commercial motor carriers. That being said, let's move to the other organisation that we came across that captured data, and that was the National Transportation Safety Board. Its mission is to address selected transportation accidents that involve problems of a recurring nature. It derives its authority from Title 49 of the United States Code, Chapter 11, and it is responsible for transportation safety issues of national significance. I think I might have highlighted a few in what's occurred just in the United States in the last few weeks. So when we started to look at where does EMS sit in this fabric, NTSB, they've done one investigation of an ambulance crash. It was 1979. Never looked at one since, despite being asked. No system-wide data caption of ambulance transport, unlike the NTSB's role in aviation EMS. Some states in the United States, such as Pennsylvania, Missouri and New York, have fatality reporting systems for EMS crashes, but they state that the data is incomplete. When we look to the more standard vehicle databases from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, FARS does capture emergency vehicle fatalities, but the data has been demonstrated in a number of peer-reviewed papers to be incomplete mortality data. The general estimates system and the NAS and CDS sampling system sample a very low number of crashes, which may or may not be representative. The other database is the National EMS Memorial, which is a voluntary database. It is stated by them to be incomplete. They do verify that the providers who are registered in that database are actually providers who've been documented to be deceased. They don't capture data on safety or fatalities or injuries outside of providers. Then there are other two databases, emsclosecalls.com and emsnetwork.org. These are voluntary and anecdotal. We have no denominator data, no exposure data, no monitoring system in place, and no transportation management oversight nationally. This is the report that the NTSB did in 1979. And it's really not representative of the types of crashes we're exposed to in EMS. Currently, if we look at most of the fatalities, they're not ambulances travelling at 95 miles per hour around a bend, but many of them are procedures that relate to policies and practices that need to be amended or vehicle design standards. 30 years ago, this is what the NTSB wrote, and they made a specific comment that there are no standards or specifications addressing the design of ambulances that are sufficient for ensuring a safe system. They made some other references to transportation systems as well. So here we are 30 years later, somewhere of the order of over 1,000 fatalities, and we still have the same problem and nothing has been done at the NTSB. Pennsylvania, as I mentioned, is one of the states. Pennsylvania Code has a section where an ambulance service shall report. Well, unfortunately, there's no stick, and if you don't report, there's no consequences. That data is amongst the best data we've got, and Pennsylvania tell me they don't think they have more than half the adverse events that have occurred. These are the anecdotal databases I mentioned, emsnetwork.org, where most ambulance services do not want to see their name, and emsclosecalls.com, and they keep an ongoing anecdotal record that is clearly hardly ever going to be complete. This is the National EMS Memorial Service, where at least the line of duty deaths are validated, but clearly, again, it's a voluntary service. So, when we start to look at the data, using sample data from published studies and comparing those to published data with Federal Motor Carrier, we showed that ambulance fatalities per mile travelled are 3 to 50-fold the rate of large truck fatal crashes. Large trucks have about 2.2 fatal crashes per 100 million miles travelled in 2005. General estimates for ambulance services range from 7.7 to 109 fatal crashes per 100 million miles of ambulance travel. And these are in systems where people were looking at it, and I wonder if it was a system where people weren't looking at the data that potentially it could be worse. Estimates of 37 truck crash injuries per 100 million miles well exceed ambulance estimates of crash injury of 308 to 4,360 injuries per an estimated 100 million ambulance miles travelled. When you compare ambulance vehicle occupant crash fatality percentages, they are double that for large trucks. So you're more likely to be killed in the ambulance twice as likely than you are in a large truck in a crash. So as we looked through the databases, we found that clearly with Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, there's extensive data on numerator denominator aspects of truck safety for companies, vehicles and drivers, including hours of service. There's safety performance monitoring and targeted safety guidance. However, emergency medical services are exempt. When we looked at National Highway Traffic Safety Administration regarding ground ambulance transport, there was minimal data with incomplete numerator data for both morbidity and mortality and virtually non-existent denominator data. No safety monitoring nor any targeted safety guidance. When we looked at NTSB regarding ground EMS transport, the one crash report that I demonstrated to you in 1979, no safety monitoring and no recommendations whatsoever since 1979. Well, there's much valuable information available to motor carriers through the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. Their comprehensive safety analysis for 2010 is very valuable, and unfortunately EMS, as I said, is exempt from this oversight. And we know that when NTSB do crash investigations, it's done very well and expertly with a comprehensive analysis. And here's an example of a commercial motor vehicle involved in a crash and a comprehensive report by the NTSB. And that was 2003. As I mentioned, there are some association databases. The law enforcement officers have the database of law enforcement officers killed or assaulted in 2004 is the one depicted here. It's a database kept current, and you can identify law enforcement officers that have been killed or injured in the line of active duty. Firefighters have a database of fatalities, and you can identify firefighters that have been killed or injured in active duty in a vehicle-related event, which is their most serious cause of fatality. But unfortunately, although law enforcement and fire have association databases, albeit they're not transportation technologically driven, EMS does not have such a database. So some discussion points. Existing data clearly point to ground ambulance transport as being hazardous. Exemptions exist completely from Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration oversight. There is very scant data capture by National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, and since 1979, a complete lack of attention by the National Transportation Safety Board. There is no formal oversight, rather only voluntary, even anecdote, and absent of structured, accepted transportation system safety data capture remains. Why isn't EMS ground transport data captured by the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration? And why isn't EMS, given the safety record that has just been demonstrated to you, on the National Transportation Safety Board's most wanted list? Clearly the sorts of areas that they address prevent motor carriers from operating if they put vehicles with mechanical problems on the road or unqualified drivers behind the wheel. Are serious issues, and health and wellness of the and the impairment of drivers behind the wheel of any vehicle is extremely important. So in conclusion, there appears to be a wide disparity in transportation safety between ground ambulance transport and commercial transport per mile travelled, with a safety record for EMS ground transport per mile travelled at least an order of magnitude worse than trucks. The Federal Motor Carrier Database provides extensive detail on many aspects of truck transport safety. Similar national data do not exist for EMS transport. Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration provides monitoring, oversight and safety guidance to non-EMS transport. There is no comprehensive monitoring or safety performance oversight for EMS ground transport. The National Transportation Safety Board provides crash investigation and safety recommendations for commercial vehicles and monitoring for aviation EMS, but not for ground ambulance transport. And their only one involvement was in 1979. Thank you very much. Any questions? Great question. The question is there are some trauma databases that capture trauma data, unfortunately won't capture fatality data. And fatality data is pretty important data, and it won't capture data easily if the driver of the ambulance, as in the situation outlined a few days ago, there was an impaired driver and there were two fatalities, that would be missed by that database. So it's a great suggestion, but and I think it would be important, but I think it's going to miss a lot of the important issues. Any other questions? Yep. That's exactly the situation. There are a number of holes in that approach. Actually, on Monday, I did give a brief presentation outlining some of those, and that is recorded. But you're 100% right. There are two main holes in that system. One is if you're a volunteer, and the other hole is the hole you've identified. So the data that we have are actually, sadly, minimum data. The other issue I did want to mention is that the National Academies Transportation Research Board has just announced that they will have an Emergency Medical Services Safety Subcommittee from a transportation point of view. That will be meeting for the first time in January next year at the Major Transportation Research Board meeting. I think that the areas are fascinating because they address transportation safety, occupational safety and health, acute healthcare delivery, safety for the patient, the provider, as well as the public. And I think this is a unique area of transportation safety concern and clearly a very special area that warrants public health attention. Thank you very much. Oh, one other question. I'm sorry. One other question. I think you're 100% right, and I think the one group that really is extremely valuable to in advancing this situation are groups such as yourselves and the... just as an example to that, in Canada, there's a group of part of the Canadian Paramedic Association who actually have a petitioning for advancement in the OCHC health and safety standards for providers, and I'd be more than happy to speak with you about that. There are some links to that petition on the objectivesafety.net website where a lot of this information is recorded. And it's an interesting thing, yes, DOT is the jurisdiction and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration is how the DOT represents commercial motor vehicles. And clearly I think we've outlined that that's not going to be of assistance currently in this situation. I think the Federal Motor Vehicle Carrier Administration should address the safety of emergency medical service vehicles because there is no other infrastructure that has the resources or the capacity to address it. As I mentioned, that's why I mentioned the police and the fire as an example. They have infrastructure and resources to address the, at least, epidemiology of their motor vehicle events. EMS doesn't have that, and that's why it would be very valuable to have them included in some capacity, maybe some scaled back capacity within the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration oversight. Thank you very much.